Our text is Psalm 41, Psalm 41, verses 5 to 13. I read to you the whole Psalm, Psalm 41. To the choir master, a Psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words. While his heart gathers iniquity, when he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In our study of Psalm 41, we saw how sickness and sin together put David into distress and danger. And to add to that, his enemies were plotting against him and waiting for him to die. We read in verse 8, they say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. And again, verse 10, David prays, but you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. So David is sick and his enemies are sure he will die. His sin has caught up on him and he cries out to God for mercy. Verse 4, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. Now we also said that most likely the historic setting of the psalm is during the time of Absalom's rebellion. And David's sickness prevented him from leading the nation as he wanted to. And Absalom plotted against the king during this time. And as days went by, Absalom took advantage of this difficult period of time during David's life. And Absalom was promoting himself to be king. David's close friend, most likely Ahithophel, who was David's trusted counselor, had now shifted his loyalty to Absalom. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Psalm 41 verse 9. And we saw how our Lord Jesus quoted verse 9 of Psalm 41, referring to Judas in his upper room discourse with his disciples. And we will look a little more into that in detail a little later as we study the psalm. So this psalm has messianic overtones. But how does this psalm apply to us today? We went on to say that this psalm helps us to take an inventory of our spiritual condition when we find ourselves in times of difficulty. We can take this spiritual inventory of our lives by asking and answering four questions. And so we could title this psalm as Four Questions and Answers for Spiritual Inventory. First is the question of integrity. How do we treat others? Psalm 41 verses 1 to 4. Then is the question of treachery. How do others treat us? Psalm 41 verses 5 to 9. And how do we respond? Number 3, the question of mercy. How does God treat us? Psalm 41 verses 10 to 12. And finally, the question of glory. The question of glory. How do we treat God? Psalm 41 verse 13. Last time we looked at the question of integrity. How do we treat others? Verses 1 to 4. Today, we will look into the rest of the psalm. The question of treachery. How do others treat us? Psalm 41 verses 5 to 9. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. It wasn't enough that David was sick in bed. He also had to deal with treachery. David had to deal with treachery. Treachery among his own family and friends, including men like Ahithophel, his official counselor, who had now switched sides to Absalom. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. When David inquired about Bathsheba before committing adultery with her, this is what he found out in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 3. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? In the record of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we read in 2 Samuel 23 verse 34, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai of Maacah, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather, and he hated David for what he did to Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. And so he helped Absalom in his rebellion. So there were now false friends who visited King David, and they were lying to him. While they saw him in his sick bed, they would say, we hope you will get well soon. But they really wanted David to die and even plotted against him. That's what David is saying. But if Absalom became king, that would be the end of David's dynasty, because Absalom had no son. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself the pillar that is in the king's valley, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. But God had promised David that his descendants would sit on the throne of Israel forever. And these were the words that God spoke to David through Nathan the prophet, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 to 16. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And this promise was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. The angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and tells her, we find the record in Luke chapter 1 verses 31 to 33, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. David was gifted at reading people, and he knew the truth. When the wise woman of Tekoa, who was sent by Joab to David to convince him about the return of Absalom from Geshur, David could read in between her lines when she spoke. 2 Samuel chapter 14 verses 17 to 20. And your servant thought, the word of my lord the king will set me at rest. For my lord the king is like the angel of God to discern good and evil. The Lord your God be with you. Then the king answered the woman, "Do not hide from me anything I ask you." And the woman said, "Let my lord the king speak." The king said, "Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" The woman answered and said, "As surely as you live, my lord the king, one cannot turn to the right hand, or to the left from anything that my lord the king has said. It was your servant Joab who commanded me. It was he who put all these words in the mouth of your servant. In order to change the course of things, your servant Joab did this. But my lord has wisdom like the wisdom of the angel of God to know all things that are on the earth." So David had the gift of discernment. He could discern the ones who were treacherous. And he knew these people who came and spoke kind words to him actually wanted him to die. Our Lord Jesus used verse 9 of Psalm 41 referring to Judas the traitor. And so let's read a few verses. Let's read a few verses in the scripture referring to this treachery. Psalm 41 verse 9. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." In John's gospel, in John chapter 13 verses 18 to 19, Jesus is saying, "I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. In Mark chapter 14 verse 18, Mark chapter 14 verse 18, "And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.'" Psalm 69 verse 25. This is a very important verse because Peter quotes this verse later. Psalm 69 verse 25. "May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents." And also Psalm 109 verse 8. "May his days be few. May another take his office." Now let's read Peter's message recorded in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verses 16 to 20. Peter saying, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.'" That is a direct quote from the book of Psalms, Psalm 69 verse 25 and Psalm 109 verse 8. Psalm 69 verse 25 and Psalm 109 verse 8. "May his camp become desolate and let there be no one to dwell in it and let another take his office." Psalm 41 verse 9. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." It is important to note that Jesus did not quote the phrase, "whom I trusted." In Psalm 41 verse 9, he doesn't quote that phrase, "whom I trusted." Jesus doesn't quote that phrase, "whom I trusted." Jesus knew very well that Judas had no saving faith. John 6 verse 70 to 71. John chapter 6, 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. The psalm opens with a statement about the poor. And Judas, he tried to identify himself with the poor. Psalm 41 verse 1, "To the choir master, a psalm of David, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." In his treachery, Judas tried to cover up sin by pretending he was helping the poor. John chapter 12 verses 4 to 6. John 12 verses 4 to 6. "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus knew all about Judas and his character. John chapter 13 verses 26 to 30. John 13, 26 to 30. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. David's enemies wanted the king's name to perish. Psalm 41 verse 5, I read to you from the King James Version. Psalm 41 verse 5, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish?" It was Judas who destroyed a good name. That name Judah actually means praise. Today we would call our sons David, but we would never call a son Judas. Ahithophel counseled Absalom as to how to rebel against David. He gave him perverted counsel. 2 Samuel chapter 16 verses 20 to 23. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your counsel, what shall we do?" Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and by Absalom. We come back to Psalm 41 verse 9. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." This phrase, "lifted up his heel," that pictures a deceptive and underhanded attack. The Bible clearly tells us that God judges the treacherous deceiver. God judges the treacherous deceiver. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 5. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Remember, God judged Ananias and Sapphira for their deception in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 5. "But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.' When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it." And then in verses 7 to 11, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 verses 7 to 11, "After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter said to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' But Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband." Now note verse 11. Note that verse, verse 11. "And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." You see, God will judge the deceiver and his treachery. God desires that his children live in honesty, and God will honor honesty. Psalm 32 verse 2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So God desires that his children live in honesty, and God will honor honesty. This morning I got a message from a mother whose daughter was writing an exam online. She has been writing the final exam, actually the MBA exam is online, and she's studying in England. But she's writing the exams online, and everyone else was copying. And she had come to know the Lord. Her mother had brought her to my home in Ernakulam about 2 years ago, and she gave her life to the Lord. From that day on, her life had changed. And all her friends were copying for this online exam. And she was under so much of stress because the whole subject was very difficult. But she did not copy. And God has honored her. Today, the mother says, she has got a job in Deloitte in London. And I got a message from her also. And see how God honors his children. God desires that his children live in honesty. And God will honor honesty. And God will judge the deceiver. God will judge the deceiver and the treachery of the deceiver. Number three is the question of mercy. How does God treat us? Psalm 41 verses 10 to 12. Psalm 41 verses 10 to 12. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. God in his mercy does not give us what we do deserve. We deserve eternal hell, but God does not give us his children hell. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. He gives us heaven. Because we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, his son, who died for us on the cross. And David prayed for mercy because he knew that he had sinned. Psalm 41 verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. And David also affirmed his integrity. Psalm 41 verse 12. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. David had walked before the Lord in humility and submission. He experienced God's forgiveness, healing, and deliverance from his enemies. David wanted mercy for himself, but not for his enemies. Except for his son Absalom, David wanted God to judge his enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 5. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. But God is not partial when it comes to judgment, because God is a just God and he will judge sin. So he judged Absalom. He will judge the treacherous who do not repent. David's enemies had committed treason against the Lord's chosen and anointed king. So this is not personal vendetta on David's part. But it was a concern for the future of the nation of Israel and the dynasty of David, through whom the Messiah was to come into the world. As a ruler of the land, David wielded the sword of justice, and nations today punish treason with death. Romans chapter 13 verses 1 to 4. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. More than anything else, David wanted to please God. Psalm 41 verse 11. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. He had confidence that the Lord would heal him, restore him to the throne, and deal with those who oppose him. Psalm 18 verse 19. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. David was certain that one day he would be in the presence of the Lord. He would serve him in his holy courts. David knew that. Psalm 41 verse 12. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Psalm 16 verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Now we come to the fourth question, the question of glory. How do we treat God? Psalm 41 verse 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now the book of Psalms is divided into five books. I said that when we began the study of the book of Psalms. This verse ends the first book. And the verse reminds us that the main focus of our lives must be the eternal praise and glory of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. That is the first request in the disciples' prayer. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this governs all other requests of prayer. God answers prayer not to make his people more comfortable, but to bring glory to his name. The Lord still had so much more work for David to do. David was to prepare for the building of the temple which his son Solomon was chosen to build. One day, God's glory would move into that holy sanctuary. David knew that. 1 Kings chapter 8 verses 1 to 11. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel, before King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. And they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him were with him before the Ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles, and the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Today, we as believers in Christ, we can experience this manifest presence of God in our lives as we walk, as we humbly walk with God, as we walk in integrity, without treachery, without deceit, having received God's mercy through the finished work that Jesus Christ, his Son, has done for us on the cross. Jesus said, remember in John chapter 17 verse 22, this was the prayer of Jesus, John 17 verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. That's why when we gather together in worship, we can experience God's presence, his manifest presence. When you personally worship the Lord also, you experience his manifest presence. You can walk throughout the day experiencing the presence of God in your life. If you live a life of integrity, without treachery and deceit, humbly walking with God, having received the mercy of God by the blood that Jesus has shed for you on the cross. Psalm 41 verse 13 says, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let us pray.